speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
About 20 years ago, while I was in graduate school at the University of Virginia, the President's office hosted a Nobel Peace Laureates conference with 9 Nobel laureates going back to the early 1970s. I don't remember all 9 of them, but distinctly remember Ben Williams, who was an advocate for safe havens for all children, Aung San Suu Kyi, who spent so many decades under house arrest, Desmond Tutu, of course, and his extraordinary work for reconciliation in South Africa, and His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, and his compassionate response to the ongoing occupation of Tibet by the Chinese. Throughout the course of this Nobel Peace Conference, the presenters shared a bit of their story and their ongoing hopes for peace in the world. Each one was more moving than the last when you have speakers like that sharing passionately of the work that they continue to do for peace. And I believe, though, His Holiness the Dalai Lama was one of the last to talk. And with so many stories over these days ringing in our ears, when he began to talk about the death and the destruction of the monasteries in Tibet, and the ways that the Chinese people had brutalized his people to the point that he was now living in exile, it was almost unbearable to hear his story. And yet, for those of you who have ever seen a YouTube video or had the pleasure of seeing His Holiness in person, his face beamed with peace and radiance and joy. And he talked so passionately about the need to have compassion for the Chinese. He told one story in particular about a monk he knew who was captured by the Chinese and was in prison. And in a letter writing correspondence that they somehow had, because His Holiness was not allowed to have much contact with people, he learned from this monk that the thing he was most worried about was that he would come to hate the Chinese. For those of us sitting in beautiful Charlottesville, Virginia, listening to story after story like this, of people able to show such compassion in the face of cruelty and violence and oppression, it was no wonder that ultimately during the question and answer time, someone stood up and said, "You know, Your Holiness, how do you do this work? How do you remain compassionate for the Chinese? How do you continue to live with such joy and reckless abandon?" And almost without missing a beat, he said, "I have no thoughts," and just fell out of his chair laughing. And it was so fascinating to watch everything. Most of us are stunned. You have no thoughts. You speak all the time. You go all over the world advocating for a compassionate response to any level of oppression. You have no thoughts? So a lot of us were sort of mystified watching this, but Desmond Tutu also could barely sit up straight. He was laughing so hard. And their laughter became contagious until finally somebody was able to encourage him to explain himself. And he basically said, "Today, I am in Charlottesville, Virginia, with my new best friend, Desmond Tutu, and we are laughing together, and my belly is full, and the sun is shining. I have no thoughts." And you actually believed him. Whereas the rest of us would spend every waking moment going over all of the horrors that we and our friends had or were enduring, or all of the worries that we had for what might happen, he had no thoughts. We can actually see in Psalm 22 tonight what it looks like when people have a lot of thoughts. The psalmist is all all twisted up with angst and anxiety about the current troubles that likely he is in. What we see in Jesus' example, both in the Passion that we heard sung tonight and in Luke's Gospel that we heard proclaimed on Palm Sunday, that even in the face of extreme pain and violence brought against Jesus, he too seemed to have no thoughts. He was just deeply present wherever he was. Traveling through the streets of Jerusalem, he meets the women, sees their weeping, and comforts them. Hanging on the cross between the criminals when most of us would be screaming or crying or just turned so inward and shut down. When one of the criminals asks him, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom," he replies, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Not worried about what is about to happen, not cursing the soldiers for what has happened, not screaming insults at the high priests for their blasphemy, for their hideous behavior. With no thoughts, we're able to respond to what is immediately in front of us. I see this in your lives in the parish. When we sit with you in the hospital and you are facing an illness or your loved one is facing an illness, your bravery in simply saying, "Today, I need to get out of bed and begin my recovery from my knee surgery." Or, "Today, I need to rest to gather my strength for my next treatment." So many of you live in that way. And yet I know that the thoughts of worry and anxiety and fear so often come to all of us. This is the extraordinary gift of Good Friday for me. Seeing the witness of Jesus to a different way of being in the face of extreme oppression, violence, degradation, and death, gives each and every one of us a tiny bit of hope and strength, so that whatever it is that we face in our lives, we can strive to follow his example and the example of so many holy men and women throughout the ages, including your friends in our community here at St. Mary's and in the broader community. When we can follow the example of these holy men and women and have no thoughts, even the most unbearable situation begins to be redeemed by them.